16. From the depths to the heights. Watercolor. I grayed out for a time. The jostling, the running, and the blurring cacophony of sounds proved too much for my already abused senses. I was vaguely aware of pain and confusion, my sense of balance completely thrown. It felt as though I tumbled through the air, unconnected to anything, uncontrolled. A blurry voice seemed to whisper in my ear, "Why are you alive when Madding is dead? Why are you alive at all, death-filled vessel that you are? You are an affront to all that is holy. You should just lie down and die." It might have been Shiny speaking, or my own guilt. After what felt like a very long time, I regained enough wit to think. I sat up, slowly and with great effort. My arm, the good one, did not obey my will at first. I told it to push me up, and instead it flailed about, scrabbling at the surface beneath me. Hard, but not stone. I sank my nails into it a little. Wood. Cheap. Thin. I patted it, listening, and realized it was all around me. When I finally regained control of myself, I managed a slow, shaky exploration of my environment and finally understood. A box. I was in some kind of large wooden crate open at one end. Something heavy and scratchy and smelly lay upon me. A horse blanket? Shiny must have stolen it for me. It still reeked of its former owner's sweat, but it was warmer than the chilly pre-dawn air around me, so I drew it closer. Footsteps nearby. I cringed until I recognized their peculiar weight and cadence. Shiny. He climbed into the crate with me and sat down nearby. "Here," he said, and metal touched my lips. Confused, I opened my mouth and nearly choked as water flooded in. I managed not to splutter too much of it away, fortunately, because I was desperately thirsty. As Shiny turned up the flask for me again, I greedily drank until there was nothing left. I was still thirsty, but felt better. "Where are we?" I asked. I kept my voice soft. It was quiet wherever we were. I heard the pat plink of morning dew, such a welcome sound after days without it in the house of the risen sun. There were people about, but they moved quietly too, as if trying not to disturb the dew. "Ancestor's village," he said, and I blinked in surprise. He had carried me across the city from the Shoestock's junkyard, from Wesha to Isha. The village was just north of South Root, near the tunnel under the root wall. It was where the city's homeless population had made a camp of sorts, or so I'd been told. I'd never visited it. Many of the villagers were sick in body or mind, too harmless to be quarantined, but too ugly or strange or pitiful to be accepted in the orderly society of the bright. Many were lame, mute, deaf, blind. In my earliest days in Shadow, I'd been terrified of joining them. I didn't ask, but Shiny must have seen the confusion on my face. "I lived here sometimes," he said, "before you." It was no more than I'd already guessed, but I could not help pity. He had gone from ruling the gods to living in a box among lepers and madlings. I knew his crimes, but even so. Belatedly, I noticed more footsteps approaching. These were lighter than Shiny's, several sets. Three people? One of them had a bad limp, dragging the second foot like dead weight. "We have missed you," said a voice, elderly, raspy, of indeterminate gender, though I guessed male.
"It's good to see you well. Hello, miss."
Hello, I said. The first words had not been directed at me. Satisfied, the maybe man turned his attention back to Shiny.
"For her."
I heard something set down on the crate's wooden floor. I smelled bread.
"See if she can get that down."
"Thank you," said Shiny, surprising me by speaking. "Dimra's gone looking for old Sume," said another voice, younger and thinner sounding. "She's a bone bender. Not a very good one, but sometimes she'll work for free." The voice sighed. "Wish Rola was still around."
"That won't be necessary," said Shiny, because of course he intended to kill me.
Even I could tell that these people didn't have many favors to call in. Best they not spend such a precious one on me. Then Shiny surprised me further.
"Something for her pain would be good, however."
A woman came forward. "Yes, we brought this."
something else was set down. Glass. I thought I heard the slosh of liquid. It isn't good, but it should help.
Thank you, Shiny said again, softer. You are all very kind.
So are you, said the thin voice. And then the woman murmured something about letting me sleep, and all three of them went away. I lay there in their wake, not quite boggling. I was too tired for real astonishment.
There's food, Shiny said,
and I felt something dry and hard brush my lips. The bread, which he'd torn into chunks so I wouldn't have to waste strength gnawing. It was coarse, flavorless stuff, and even the small piece he'd torn made my jaws ache. The Order of Aetempus took care of all citizens. No one starved in the Bright. That didn't mean they ate well.